Ace Podcast.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
Hey, everybody. I'm Aaron.
And we are here at the Lee Berry Studios just outside of Nashville with another stack of stories. Got some good stories.
We do. And we, you know what, Craig? We've only got two episodes left until our Christmas episode.
Holy cow.
This one, another one, and then Christmas episode.
Also known as only two more until we get to the Christmas one.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
You just said that.
But if you haven't rated us on iTunes yet, you're not in the running for the t-shirt.
You got to click the stars, you've got to write the review.
You got to be in it to win it.
You got to be in it to win it if you want these two good-looking mugs on your shirt.
That's right. Let's get to the story.
I'll tell you what, there are only a few people walking around with these shirts. These are exclusive.
Very rare.
Exclusive.
Very rare.
Hey,
yeah.
This first story?
Yeah.
I found this one.
Yeah, you did.
I technically lifted it from somebody else who found it, but hey.
You want to shout out?
No.
Okay.
So here's the deal, right?
Yeah.
Who do you expect you can trust every day of the week, no matter if it's raining, snow, sleet, hail?
Oh, the post office.
The post office, yeah. Right? And would you also expect you should trust that person to not throw your mail in a porta potty?
What in the world?
First of all, why do you have a porta potty out front? Let's find out.
I don't.
Let's find out.
Okay, go.
This one comes all the way from Michigan.
Ooh.
The U.S. Postal Service. I didn't tell you what the headline was.
No, you didn't.
USPS, that's United States Postal Service.
Thank you.
Carrier investigated for dumping mail into porta potty, which is essentially what I've already said.
You know what? That stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I want to say something. I just can't come up with.
Well, let's play the theme.
All right. Okay, you ready?
Sure.
This comes from Michigan. The U.S. Postal Service is investigating a disgusting crime in Macomb County.
Peerless. That's in right. This porta potty.
We're going to keep dragging that poor guy out, aren't we?
Well, he's in a porta potty.
That's true. Well, he's by himself. An entire batch of mail was discarded in a porta potty. Now, those people, everyone should know what those are, but we're just going to go ahead.
Some people call them portalettes.
Portalettes.
Like toilettes.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
And what they are, everybody knows, but for the two people who don't know, that is one of those little boxes.
It's a plastic bathroom.
It's a plastic bathroom.
It's a plastic restroom outside.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no bath inside.
Some of them now have a little bit of urinals in them.
Yep. And some of them dive into them to get phones out of them. Yes. If you've listened to earlier episodes.
And other things. We've had a lot of, remember the football game where the guy toppled the guy over?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a big plastic porta potty you go into when you're at a game or you're somewhere and they don't have actual facilities.
Yeah.
So they put these out.
At the park.
Right.
I've seen them.
And they're disgusting.
Construction sites.
An entire batch of mail was discarded in a porta potty. People in a Macomb township, and I'm saying Macomb, I believe that's correct.
I think it's
Macomb. Someone from Michigan could correct us.
Macomb Township.
They've had problems with mail delivery, but never anything as serious as this. Adam Hassig. Can we not have somebody just named Terry, like Tom Jones or Terry Jones?
It's not unusual to be
Smith.
Loved by anyone.
Adam Hassig had no idea that some of the mail was not being delivered to his home until he saw.
Well, how are you going to know if you're not getting it?
I'd say out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot of the stuff I get in the mail.
They can keep it if it's in a portal.
Until he saw this Facebook post from his subdivision. Here's the quote. "I noticed in the picture that this is actually a piece of mail, a paycheck wife receives from her boss every couple of weeks," Hassig said. "And I was instantly furious."
Well, sure. Now, that I would notice if I wasn't getting a paycheck.
Yeah, because he saw, okay, we'll break it down in a minute. Officials with the Postal Service said 700 pieces of mail were recovered from a... You can keep them, porta potty. I don't
sure.
want them. Recovered back in mid-November. A construction worker working on homes in Hassig's subdivision made the shocking discovery. "It's obviously a big issue," Hassig said, "something that should be taken care of and never happen again. Investigators say the mail carrier is responsible. This particular employee was employed with the employed with the Postal Service since April of this year," said special agent. There's a special agent in charge, Jeff Arnie. "I'm the special agent in charge.
Arnie!
Arnie, get in here. Special Agent Arnie. He's the special agent with the Postal Service. And once approached and contacted by our office and interviewed, they resigned. Oh. I think they should have made him go in and get them.
Go get that mail back.
So we're going to break this down, just part of it.
Yeah.
So basically, they had no idea the mail was missing.
Right.
And then he saw a post, and it was a picture.
Yep.
And he noticed in the picture on Facebook, or as you would say, the picture, that he noticed in the picture that some of his wife's mail, he could spot it.
A paycheck.
Right.
And probably thinking, golly, my paycheck is late. Should I mention it to the boss?
Yeah, he said, I get paid crap. And so he finds it. They contact and special agents on duty. Special agent in charge.
Jeff Arnie.
He's a good guy.
Jeff.
Old man Arnie's boy.
That's right.
And since he was a wee little lad, he's always wanted to be a special agent with the Postal Service.
His head is huge, though.
He's a huge head. He's a great big head.
They had to special order his little special agent cap.
Anyway, basically, they went to the guy.
That's how he became a special agent.
Yeah.
They had special order.
Well, once you had the hat.
And it's special.
Right. Like you.
I'm special.
And so basically, they went to the guy. They said, hey, did you do this? He went, okay, I quit. That's basically what he did. He didn't even go, no, or I want a lawyer. He's just like, hey, I did it.
I'm out.
I quit. Hey, you know, I've said this to you before.
Yeah.
You can taste garlic with your feet.
You've never said that. And how do you taste anything with your feet? I don't eat with my feet.
I just said it. I did just say it.
Yeah, but you said you always say it.
You taste garlic with your feet.
I don't believe it.
There are two types of people in the world.
No, there's more than that.
I'm pretty sure.
A whole bunch.
People who think there are no such things. Let's try that again. And
go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. There are two types of people in the world.
Yeah.
People who think there's no such thing as too much garlic, and people who are wrong.
Oh, no. I do not like garlic.
I like garlic, but the problem with garlic, if you eat too much garlic, it comes out of your pores.
Oh.
No, you will smell
like. I don't like the flavor.
You'll smell like. Oh, I do. You'll smell like garlic.
Oh, you must eat a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why you smell like one of our poop stories.
Now I smell like a Buster bar.
Yeah, you smell like a Buster bar. No matter which group you fall into, if you like fascinating science experiments, you'll want to try tasting garlic through your feet.
Why does it have to be garlic? Because
I don't have taste buds on my feet.
I don't either.
That I'm aware of.
Maybe you do. How's those socks you're wearing?
Maybe if I... They're kind of... I don't know. In the latest installment of its Weird Food Trick series, the American Chemical Society shows you both better life through chemicals.
American Chemical Society has weird food tricks.
Yeah, it's the
we're a hamburger.
It's the ACS. It's the American Chemical Society. They show you how and why this works. To try it out for yourself, cut a piece of fresh garlic in half, then in a separate room that doesn't smell like garlic, take off. This sounds like a punk thing.
It does,
punk
doesn't
thing.
It? Yeah.
How many people are going to go do this?
Write in and let us know if you can taste garlic with your feet.
Okay, right? I might try this and have to report back.
I want to hear about it.
Okay. Well, if you let me finish the story, you will hear about it.
Go ahead.
Okay. To try it out for yourself, cut a piece of fresh garlic in half, then in a separate room that doesn't smell like garlic, you have to work fast because when the garlic goes with you, it's going to start smelling like garlic, take off your shoes and socks and place them into a plastic bag with a piece of garlic. After an hour...
You got to stay there an hour like that?
It says take off your shoes and socks and place them into a bag with the
strange
piece of garlic. After an hour, you'll be able to both taste and smell the garlic. But here's what I understand. If my socks are in a bag, how am I going to taste it if the socks are partying with the garlic?
This is a magic trick.
Apparently.
This is David Blaine.
So here's how it works. Ready?
This is don't pick up that key. You'll turn into a tricycle.
That's right. Your skin has oily and watery layers. If you remember your middle school chemistry, oil and water don't mix, which makes it good at protecting you from outside molecules. However, garlic contains a molecule called allicin, which is
true. I got a friend named Allison.
It's A-L-L-I-C-I-N, which, by the way, I've been told by a doctor that allicin, and this is like, I was kind of expecting a regular old medical doctor guy to tell me this is a bunch of bunk, taking garlic and stuff.
Yeah.
He said if the component allicin that's in garlic, he said it's basically a cure for a cold. He said if you get that stuff, if you'll start taking that stuff on the onset of it. So if you get a garlic sub, and by the way, this is not, I'm disclaimer, this is what a doctor told me. I'm not saying you need to do this. He said if you'll get a garlic supplement that includes the allicin component, because I don't think they all do, and you start taking it during an onset of a cold, he said basically like in a day and a half, you'll be gone. It'll be gone.
I don't believe in supplements. I think
either way, that's what he told me.
I think that supplements are a scam.
Okay, well, I went to this doctor and I said to him, I've been taking this.
This doctor probably believes that the moon footage is real too.
Yeah. Anyway, so I told him, I said,
"Oh, we got to call our buddy, by the way."
Okay, right now.
What?
Which buddy?
I can't focus for some reason. You're in the middle of a story, and I'm just blabbering.
Can I please go back to the garlic in my socks?
Go ahead.
Basically, I was trying to put a little thing in there that I heard Allison, the stuff in it, is good for colds. Anyway, so here's the deal.
I don't believe in supplements, though.
I don't care what you believe, okay? You believe that this is a great podcast.
I do. I love this podcast.
Okay, however, garlic contains a molecule called allicin, which has properties of both water and oil. Because of this, it can permeate the skin in your feet and travel through your blood all the way to your mouth and nose. You'll swear you can taste garlic and that the room has a strong garlicky odor. Now, this is what confuses me. Okay, everybody follow me on this.
Okay.
Here's how you do it. Okay.
Go ahead.
Where's it at? Here it is. Okay. Cut a piece of garlic.
It's right after here's how.
Okay, here's how. Try it out for yourself. Okay, but here's where I get lost. Cut a piece of garlic in half.
Yes.
Then go to a separate room that doesn't smell like garlic.
Right.
Which would exclude any Italian restaurants.
Exactly. You'd have to be in like a McDonald's.
And you take off your shoes and socks, and you place your shoes and your socks into a plastic bag with the piece of garlic. But it doesn't say take them back out. It says leave them in the bag.
You're right.
It says after an hour you'll be able to taste and smell the garlic.
It's almost as if something's missing.
It's almost like journalism has fallen apart.
It has. And we've talked about that on numerous occasions.
So here's the deal. If anybody wants to try this, I would say go hit the Googles.
Yeah.
And read up on how to make your feet smell the garlic for you.
Yeah. Or taste it. Yeah.
The garlic for your... This is dumb. Let's talk about Texas.
Hey, wait a minute. Because we had a story... Again, a couple of weeks ago, where a guy set his apartment on fire because somebody wouldn't leave, right?
Right.
You remember that? They just like sticking around. This one's, we're going to talk, that guy has, he's number two now because somebody has beat him.
You got a picture of it?
Texas woman. Headline is, Texas woman arrested after attempt to set roommate on fire for not inviting her to a party.
So you don't invite me to the party, you're going, I'm setting you on fire.
Watch this. You know what? You're burning. That's what.
Ready?
A Manor, Texas woman is in custody after she doused her roommate and their home with gasoline and tried to set it all ablaze because she was angry that she hadn't been invited to a party.
I'm just going
to
say that at the point a can of gasoline comes out, I'm going to be gone. You're not going to have time
to... Keep that stuff out of the house.
Well, no. I mean, once you pull out a can of gasoline, it looks like it's coming towards me. You're not going to have time to put me on fire, right? I'm gone.
The Austin Statesman said Wednesday night that...
Who's he?
37-year-old...
Who's the Austin Statesman?
Jenna Tyan...
Who?
37-year-old
easy.
37-year-old is old enough to know better. Was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to police, when Tyan found out her roommate was planning a party to which she wasn't invited, she flew into a rage. In the course of the argument, Tyan reportedly produced a gas can. What, does she carry one around with her? Produced a gas can and poured it on the man, also 37. And on items inside and outside the house. This had to take some time. If inside and outside the house. She then tried to use
I'm lucky if my gas can has gas in it for the lawnmower.
Yes. I always have to fill that thing up. She then tried to use a cigarette lighter to set the accelerant ablaze.
You having trouble with English?
A little bit. The roommate was able to escape the premises and call police, who confirmed that they received a 911 call about 7 p.m. on Wednesday about a woman trying to set someone on fire. When the officers arrived at the residence, they confirmed that the roommate and the items inside the house smelled strongly of gasoline.
I hope he hadn't had his shoes and his socks in a bag with some gasoline for a while, because that tasted nasty, I bet.
You smell gas?
Now you taste gas?
I have tasted gas before.
Hey.
Yeah.
We had a, hey.
This is like... Update episode.
This is like. Oh, sorry.
What's with the fallen fish?
I don't know. What's with me? My brain seizing up like that.
Well, like, that's pretty
normal.
Standard.
Hey, this happened in Seattle, which is where all the crazies live anyway.
Yeah.
I said it, Seattle.
Except for those that listen to us.
Except for those. Well, those are the two people that are trying to get out.
That's the good ones.
Those are the ones trying to leave.
Hey. Ever since Kurt Cobain was murdered. There's nobody.
Oh, now there's a conspiracy. He was murdered. He didn't kill himself.
That's not a conspiracy. That's truth.
Okay. You're just planting crap.
No, I'm planting it?
Yeah, you're planting.
Oh, planting.
You're planting crap.
No, Courtney Cobain, or Courtney Love as she is known now, had him murdered. It's proven.
Do not spread nonsense.
It's proven.
It is not proven. It has never been proven.
I have seen the proof.
What? You saw video footage of somebody walking in and killing him?
No, but I've seen enough proof.
That's, I don't know about in the world you live in. That's what we call proof, is when you can show me a video of somebody walking in or a photo of the person with the body with the gun.
That shouldn't be proof either, because you could fake those things like they did on the moon landing.
All right, anyway. So anyway, there's a falling fish.
Yeah.
Knocks out power in Seattle.
A falling fish knocks out power.
That's what I said.
Did it land on the power plant?
I have not gotten to read the story yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Utility I said officers, but
that's
not.
Okay.
I know it's okay.
I'm saying
you don't have to make
okay.
me feel better that I've mispronounced a word. Are we ready?
Shot him.
Okay. Utility officials say a falling fish knocked out power to nearly 200 customers in Seattle. Poor people. Probably got their French presses or something to make their own coffee. our news partner, the Seattle Times, reported that a Seattle City Light crew investigating the power outage Wednesday afternoon found an electrocuted fish on the ground below, or as this says, beow the power lines. I like, though, is that when I do say that, you always come back and confirm it, and I like that because it actually makes me feel better that I'm not seeing things.
What if I didn't have a copy of your story and I just had to take your word for it?
You take my word for it, you'd probably start telling people that I just can't read, which really is secondary to this whole issue.
You know, this story is interesting because Courtney Love actually at one time said that a falling fish landed on the shotgun that killed Kurt Cobain.
So a falling fish
was like her first story, yeah. But she changed it.
I would say too soon, but it's been 25 years.
Yeah, it's not too soon.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I didn't.
I hit my mic and it just about fell over.
Why don't you leave that mic alone? Just talking to it.
So, they figured out. You ready?
Yeah.
After it was the power lines.
Right.
They figured out that one of the eagles or ospreys, am I pronouncing that right? Ospreys.
Yes, that's correct.
That routinely hunt in the nearby Duwamish River. You know the Duwamish River.
I wonder which one of the eagles they're talking about.
I don't know. Well, it couldn't be Glenn Frey.
No, he's gone.
It's
one of the eagles.
Don Felder suspect, if you ask
me. Yeah, maybe.
But Joe Walsh is the kind that would kind of go crazy and do something like
that.
Yeah,
but he would probably eat the fish before throwing it or dropping it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so the power is out for about 2.5 hours. They think that the bird dropped it or whatever. So, which honestly, even Wrigglesworth could figure that out.
Well, sure.
City Light says birds often cause power outages. 162 of them in the last year, including two bald eagles. That's just weird. Raccoons are another common culprit. Do they know that those aren't birds?
Is that why they wear those little masks?
Uh-huh, so nobody knows who they are. But spokesman Connie McDougall says this is the first time she's heard of a fish knocking out power. McDougall says the workers who found the fish think it was salmon. Nobody knows.
Well, read her next line.
But she notes that they are not fish biologists.
Neither am I, but I know a salmon.
You know, talking about birds putting that happened to us recently. You know, I don't know about where we live, and I'm sure it's like this everywhere. There are breakers that on all the poles.
Yes.
So if anything shorts that thing, that breaker flips, and your power's out until they come back and just basically take a big pole and they push the breaker back up. Put a new breaker.
You need to figure out how to do that so you can be a hero to your neighbors.
I know how to do it. I just don't keep a box full of those breakers, and I don't keep a fuse, whatever it is, and I don't keep a giant plastic pole, and I'm not into killing myself with gigawatts of power.
So you really don't know how to do it.
I know how to do it. I see them doing it.
Well, that doesn't mean you know how to do
so
it.
So this bird was standing.
I've seen a doctor do brain surgery. I don't know how to do it.
Who's Dr. Dubrain? So anyway, so last time it happened, dead bird right at the bottom of the, the lines.
Yes. Dead bird or dead fish?
That was a dead bird this time.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go.
There was a fish in the air with a smug look on his face, though.
You know what I like? You know what I like, Craig, is somebody with a good entrepreneurial spirit.
You actually got that word out.
Somebody that gets in there, has an idea, gets in there and makes it happen. That's what I like. So this headline, you ready for this entrepreneurial?
Go on. Get it.
Woman runs booming business helping scorned wives beat up their cheating husband's mistresses. How's that for an entrepreneurial spirit?
That's a crime.
Suspect that your husband might be cheating on you,
also
Craig?
Known as suspect?
Do you suspect? You suspect your husband might be cheating on you?
No, I don't think.
Just give the mistress killer a call. Mistress killer. Call her. Who are you going to call?
Mistress killer.
The Global Times has recently published a disturbing profile on Zhang Yufeng, whose chosen profession over a decade has been helping Chinese wives enact their violent revenge on their cheating husband's mistresses.
Obviously, this is okay there.
It must be. Over the years, Zhang has helped thousands of women get through their husband's infidelity by helping them collect evidence for court cases and sometimes by guiding them on how to beat up and humiliate the women they held responsible.
So this is like a Chinese equalizer?
It's like a mafia, like a scorned mafia.
You remember the equalizer?
Yeah.
The old guy that would like come along and he'd take care of their problems?
Right. This is what that is. Zhang, popularly known as the mistress killer, was inspired...
That is a lot sexier sounding than Zhang.
...to go into this line of work after her own husband cheated on her in the 90s and asked for a divorce. I curled up on the couch. No, wait, that's the wrong accent.
I don't know what that was.
Ooh, I curled up on the couch for like a week, and when they finally went out, my hair had become gray, and people said I look as if I lost 10 kilograms. She said.
I don't know what that. What was that?
Rather than losing herself in self-pity.
And how does her hair turn gray, like, in just a week?
Oh, she, you know, once there was a boy who.
What?
Oh, it's a song. Talks about a kid whose hair turned white when he got scared.
You must be really old.
Crash Test Dummies?
Was that on the Victrola?
Hmm. Rather than losing herself in self-pity, Zhang decided to take revenge, devoting herself to tracking down her unfaithful husband and his mistress as they continued to move from house to house in a desperate attempt to flee her. This sounds like I would watch this movie.
Well, you know, there was the show Cheaters.
Yeah, but that was all set up. They finally came out.
Like the moon landing. But the thing is, it's okay. I get it. But you got to stop short of beating somebody up, right?
She doesn't. And I've seen video. They have video on this article. Okay. Soon, an old woman approached Zhang, asking her to help her daughter, who had gone into depression after finding out that her husband had been cheating on her. Before Zhang could help, the woman took her own life. That is awful.
It's horrible.
When she asked the mother why she couldn't take her son-in-law to court over her daughter's death, the woman said that she didn't have any evidence. It was then that Zhang found her purpose in life. I told the woman, I say, that I would ruthlessly exterminate those men.
I would exterminate her.
Yeah, because I don't speak English. Now, Zhang owns a property in Beijing where she helps shelter women who have been kicked to the curb by their husbands. That's good. You know what? I think that's a nice business to have right there. With China's divorce rate hitting new highs, business has been booming for Zhang. She says she receives over 100 calls. Good grief, 100 calls a day.
That's a big country.
From desperate women. Over the years, she has become a minor celebrity and even a hero to some. Recently, it seems like every few weeks there's a new video going viral on Chinese social media.
They have that?
Yeah, it's called Is it Facebook? Wait, that was
French.
That was French. Facebook.
Maybe this is a good time.
It's called Facebook.
You know, we're not going to go into this, but maybe this is a good time because we started to say this a while back, and then somebody may or may not have had a technical glitch that lost it.
Follow me on the Twitter.
But we need to once again say, you know, these voices we do.
You got my Snapchat?
This is not racially motivated. This is just us practicing the dialect.
I got the Instagram.
Okay, stop. Okay? I'm trying to save you here because we're going to get letters, okay? Aaron has always dreamed since he was still small, that he that he would one day be a Chinaman. And he tries to do the voice, and it people might get upset. We want people to know that Aaron is just trying to get the dialect right. So when he goes
I
to visit
China, these Asian languages.
See, that was like his German.
I speak the English very well.
Okay.
Okay, no more for you.
Okay, stop.
Typically, these videos are met with outrage by Chinese netizens.
That dialect you're doing is going to be met with outrage.
Who question why these women are taking out their anger on helpless mistresses rather than their cheating husbands. Craig, that's a good point. But it takes two to tango, I'll tell you that.
I don't have tango.
Well, you need somebody else.
I never was a dancer.
But Zhang gives no quarter to mistresses, whatever that means, saying that she wants to treat them just like the Japanese devils and chop off their head with a sword.
That's really...
She's violent.
That's crazy.
I mean, I appreciate her having a home where she could take these women in, but you don't go chopping off heads with swords and calling people devils. That's just wrong.
That's a whole other region.
Yeah. That takes it up a notch.
It does. Hey.
Yeah.
You remember those basketball moves you had?
Oh, man, I could do some basketball. I couldn't play basketball.
That's because you're too short.
Yeah, but I could do some moves.
Some basketball.
Behind the back.
This story.
Yeah.
The story right here.
Yeah.
If I ever get to it.
Go ahead.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Starting.
Go.
Basketball type moves. That's in quotes. basketball type moods.
That's like if you're like,
whoosh. Basketball.
You don't have a basketball, but you're acting like you're dunking.
Well, basketball type moves, or maybe there's a font that's called basketball, and that type moves. Anyway, it led to a Hamden High School lockdown. Hamden,
what? Wait a minute. What?
Hamden, Connecticut. A lockdown at Hamden High School has been lifted after a student was, quote-unquote, making basketball-type moves towards a staff member Thursday morning.
I'm coming at you. I'm dribbling air.
I know.
Like they can see what I just did. They can't see that. Yeah. But you can.
Idiot. Just after 7 a.m., Hamden police met with Hamden High. I wish they'd say Hamden a few more times.
Hamden.
Principal Nadine Gannon.
Kind of saying what you want. Oh, Hamden. Hamden.
Please stop. And they met with Principal Nadine Gannon regarding an altercation between a staff member and a student inside of the school. Principal Gannon informed the officer that she had placed the school in lockdown as a result of the altercation, and advised officers that the person responsible is still inside the building.
He's still in there. He's got his imaginary basketball. Go get him.
He's still in there doing free throws. Police spoke with the staff member, who said she was walking in a hallway when she heard someone running towards her. The staff member told officers that the male student had, quote-unquote, raised his fist as if to punch her.
That's violent.
Police said the staff member then quickened her pace. Oh, gotta go. To get away from the student, and immediately told other staff members about the incident.
You can't believe what he just did.
Further investigation revealed that the student was running in the hallway making basketball type moves.
When she thought he was coming to punch
her. He was like probably doing the.
He's gonna get me.
He's probably like jumping up, like took the fist out forward, like bending his fist, like he was throwing, like he's taking a shot.
Students have all kind of energy. When you're that age, you could just jump and run.
Right. When the staff member turned around, the teen was quote unquote making believe that he was dunking a basket. I just said it before I read it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Said it before I read it. I'm a poet. Yeah. Didn't know it.
No, you're a prophet.
I am.
Mystic.
Am I?
Go ahead.
Am I a wizard?
I
want to be a wizard.
I hope not. I don't want to turn into a tricycle.
Pick up my key. Anyway, he's trying to make believe he was dunking a basketball, according to the news release from the Hamden Police. Hamden High School students were diverted away from the high school. Run away! That guy's got a fake basketball in his hand! During the lockdown, which lasted about 40 minutes, the lockdown was lifted by 8 a.m., and Hamden High School students were returned to the building to resume their school day. No comment on the stupid idiot who thought that the guy was trying to throw a punch at her.
That was Principal Nadine Gannon.
Nadine Gannon.
She needs help.
You think she's been to a couple of ball games, too.
Good thing he didn't play lacrosse. She thought he was about to shoot her. All right. Here we go. Drunk driving is never funny. Never.
Then why are we talking about it?
Never funny. Because this one was funny, actually. Because
what, he was driving?
The guy, headline is, Orem Man.
What was that?
Orem Man. Driving cherry picker arrested for DUI.
Now, for those who don't know, cherry picker is that little bucket you get in.
Exactly.
And it takes you up, like, raises up really high to get to things like light poles or whatever.
Telephone lines.
Whatever. Cherry picker is what they call it. It's a.
Or you can pick cherries with it.
If you wanted to.
Police in Orem say that it's one of the most bizarre DUI arrests that they've ever made.
No, they don't know about George Jones and his, and his tractor.
That's true. Primarily because of what the man was driving. You have residences right here, and why the guy just jumped in and thought that he could just take it for a spin is beyond me. Orem Police Lieutenant Craig Martinez.
You're having a hard time.
Martinez. He's got a weird first name, though. The cherry picker.
Police Lieutenant?
No, Craig.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The cherry picker lift was parked at.
It was parked.
It was parked on West Street around 11:45 p.m. Sunday. Police say a 39-year-old man who had been drinking alcohol and was under the influence of prescription drugs decided to get in it and drive it away.
That's a slow chase, too.
They'll never catch him.
I know.
they can't get up there.
We got him, Sarge, but we can't reach him. That's the problem.
He's 50 feet above us.
That makes OJ's chase look like a screaming chase down the interstate.
The officer was responding to a call of loud noises disturbing the peace.
Those cherry pickers are like...
a short clip of the police officer's body camera video posted on the Orem Police Department's Facebook page shows what the officer saw when he arrived on the scene. That is kind of odd to see a cherry picker being driven around just before midnight on a city street, but it got a little more odd when he started talking to the driver, had him come out of the boom, started talking to him...
Which is the bucket, by the way.
Could smell some alcohol and see that maybe his ability to drive wasn't all that good.
And why did he have it?
So he ran him through some field sobriety tests.
He had him, like, spin the bucket around a couple times.
All right, touch the bucket to your nose.
Lift it up, lift it down.
Police say the man didn't travel very far, but he had continued driving it. He could have put himself and others at risk. It is bad enough to arrest people for DUI when you're driving a car, but this was a big piece of heavy construction equipment. He could have hurt himself or someone else. While the clip is generating a lot of buzz on social media, police hope it's another reminder about why driving under the influence is always a bad idea. You know, we joke a little bit about it only because of how odd this is, Martinez said. In 19 years of law enforcement, I have never heard of someone being arrested for DUI for driving a cherry picker. There's been some pretty odd things that we have arrested people for driving under the influence of, but this one takes the cake. Oh, I wonder what kind of cake.
Was there cake involved?
Is it chocolate, do you think?
I would have climbed up to the cherry picker little bucket there to get the cake. Maybe it was cherry cake.
Oh, chocolate cherry. That's my favorite, you know. The man, who police say lives in the neighborhood, was cited and released to the custody of his wife.
I just don't want to do the paperwork.
Hey, Martha, come on down here, would you?
Would you get your crazy old husband's up in the cherry picker
again? George got the cherry picker out again. Police say they are awaiting the results of a blood test before deciding what charges they will recommend.
I still say they've never heard the George Jones story.
Probably not.
The cherry picker may beat the George Jones story.
Yeah.
George Jones, country singer.
You know, I'm connected to that story.
You supplied him the tractor or the booze?
We lived at, or we, my brother and I had a photo lab in that town.
Alan.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Like he listens. And the town police department, we did all their photography. We did all their processing. They're developing the pictures, which sometimes was a little gross, I might
add. This story's going long.
But anyway, they brought in some film of the tractor and George and all that.
And now it's all digital. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, that's why we're not there anymore. I'm glad you think it's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that was crazy.
What a lot of funny stories.
That's a lot of stuff.
You know what time it is? I ask you that every episode.
It's time for you to talk about another Ace podcast.
Yes, and you know what? I'm gonna back up because we've mentioned the we've mentioned the Beardy Five before, but we've never reviewed the Beardy Five. So they are part of Ace Podcast Networks. Network
Ace Podcast,
just like two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Who's that?
That's the greatest podcast recorded in Studio One, right?
Studio
here.
One,
recorded at Leeberry Studios, we'll say. But the Beardy Five is two guys from Alabama. Sid's one of them, but they have pretty impressive beards, kind of like me. And they
unlike me.
And they use beard oil, kind of like me.
People don't need to know this.
And they
how do you know that, by the way?
Because they've discussed it on their podcast.
Okay.
Because I do listen to Ace Podcast Network.
I'm kind of behind listening to podcasts.
You need to get caught up because there's great stuff out there. Anyway, they do list of five. They both come to the show with a list of five. Like, the one that I remember the most is their very first episode. It's funny to listen back now because they sound so much better. They're like us. They've gained.
No, opposite of us. We've gotten worse. They've gotten better.
But they did the five movie villains. And one thing that really made me laugh last week, they were talking about Mickey and Minnie Mouse, two of your favorites.
No.
But I'm not going to tell you what they said because it was hilarious. I was laughing out loud.
They're actually not my favorites, except on my watch.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't make me do it.
No, I don't care.
I'm not going to do it.
The thing is, Beardy Five, and listen to all of the Ace Podcast.
It's 10:49.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, Mickey. Listen to all the podcasts on Ace Podcast Network. And you go there. You know how you find them, Craig? AcePodcastNetwork.com.
I've been there.
Okay.
They got a whole list of them. A
bunch of them. Yep. We're in there.
And you got to listen to the Beardy Five. You know why?
Why?
Because they got beards.
And they're cool.
And I don't have a beard.
They have accents much like our own, too.
They're funny. Hope theirs is better than yours.
The big difference between us, they're funny. But
do they say pitcher?
Yeah, they do. Thing is, Craig, that's all we've got. So tune in next time when you may hear Craig say,
check.
Lego. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. Nah, but when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me die. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. When I see you at such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual. It happens every day.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.